I just want to start by kind of softening the concept of instructions, that there's something specific that should be done. It's true that it's helpful to have some guidelines or some directions, but a little bit we can be soft with that. And very authentic, because we do have, each of us, our own inner wisdom that we've kind of collected in the mystery of this life that we live and the struggle of this life that we live. We have inner wisdom. So I'm going to offer some suggestions, but don't take them as being the kind of recipe book that if I do the put in 20 grams of sugar and 100 grams of this, then the pancakes will be right. It's not like that. So image that comes to mind in that spirit is the image of being a mother, of mothering. And just like the mother in us, whether it's to our own children or to ourself as our child, is really ready and interested and loving and wants to know what's going on in this child that is close to us, which can be ourselves. And so with that attitude, it's like we are reading and listening and interested and loving the voices that are being expressed in this mind-body thing. It's different from the effort that there's something to be done, that I have to develop samadhi, I have to have a kind of strong effort to concentrate, and my mind is a bit scattered, so it's, it needs effort to bring it. There's a different language which is helpful to us, which is a language of I'm ready. I am ready to read all the signs and the messages I'm getting from this child called myself, or the trees or the birds. There is a small effort, and the effort is the intention to stay with things. It's the kind of difference, the effort that is sometimes, people say, can we have a word over WhatsApp? Can I send a WhatsApp? And my response would be, no, no, let's have a cup of coffee in Tel Aviv. Well, it used to be like that. I don't go to Tel Aviv anymore. What's the difference between a WhatsApp and sitting with somebody for a cup of coffee and said, right, let's engage? That's the difference. So that needs intention. To really engage, to really be there. And well, like I said yesterday in about the image of the sea, Okeanos, it's not a quick dip. It's really diving in, it's really swimming inside, that's the intention. And that does sometimes need an effort. I'm going right inside. And that is samadhi. The effort of samadhi, and especially in this retreat, where we don't want to create conflict, I should be better at, I should be more concentrated, I should be, things should be. If I push and struggle, then, im az. So the intention is there is a little effort, but it's much more a sense of surrender. Now I made the effort to dive into the ocean. Now I'm, that's the effort is done. The beginning of the sitting, here I am. The effort is done. Now I surrender. It needs trust. This kind of effort is also an effort of surrender and trust. So trust is a sense of allowing things to be the way they are. It's an attitude of no pressure that things should be different. It's about less control. It's about being more of a Taoist and less of a Western soldier. And very much we'll meet this when we meet our thoughts. Our thoughts will just keep coming. How are we, what's a Taoist attitude to thought, to our thoughts? How would the Taoists talk about, my thoughts are so noisy, my mind is so crazy? What would be a Taoist attitude? The Taoists would regard the mind as simply wind, the breeze, like we feel now. That's the mind. I trust the mind to be what it is because that is what the mind does. That's its life. It's a different attitude, not I have to shut up the mind, but the mind is doing what it needs to do. I trust it. However, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to engage. I'll talk about that in a minute. It's helpful to take refuge, I think, again and again, to part of surrender. Take refuge means that, again, we trust what arises. It is what life is bringing us right now. We trust it to be what it is, even if it's not pleasant. We take refuge, meaning, okay, this is what is, taking refuge, I'm still at home. Even if it's not pleasant, I'm still at home. It's a big home we live in, kind of all kinds of things. Like in the Rumi poem, yeah, visitors can come and totally upset all the furniture. And like the story last night of the wild pig, the Khazir Bar that I said was, bursts in and totally destroyed the chicken shed, the lul. Yes, it happens. But we're still at home. The lul is a bit bigger. It's huge, our chicken shed, and we're the chickens inside. And it's huge, and we take refuge in that. The heavenly chicken shed. So refuge is also refuge in our capacity as aware human beings with a huge consciousness. We take refuge in our power to hold our experience. We take refuge in Sangha, and like I said yesterday, in us, in this vessel, in this retreat. do remember that, a sense of being at home in something bigger. You can call it, make it very simple. There is a home, I'm at home in something bigger. So you have to keep remembering that. And if the mind is, again, like I said, the Khazir Bar, or the elephant, to use the Eastern image, mind feels like a wild elephant. It can do that, but still we see it. Even it annoys us because we see it. If we didn't see it, it wouldn't annoy us. The fact that we see it means that we have a power of consciousness that can hold the mind, because we see the mind. Again, not a problem. Change in attitude. I'm bigger enough to hold my experience. The mind is doing what it needs to do. I am here with it. I trust the mind. I'm not against it. At the same time, what we are practicing with all the time in this retreat is awareness. And as our mothering, it's loving awareness, kind awareness. Being our mother. And awareness is to stay with things, to allow, to like we are, as I say, watching what the expression is on the face of our children. What's the expression on our inner face? What's our inner face telling us? Reading the signs, reading our inner life, listening, and going deeper with awareness, with loving awareness, with kind awareness, is about seeing the richness of an experience. So we're going through the beginning of the retreat. The object of awareness would be the body. Simply, it's classical and it's helpful. But with this attitude of reading the voices, listening, getting close, diving into the ocean, we begin to open and unpack our experience. So the bodily life, for example, it's breathing. We look at the richness of one breath. We're curious. One breath has meaning for us. It's a breath. It's a part of our life. It's one moment. Knowing the breath is different from the one before, knowing the breath is coming as an experience from life, it just arises, knowing that it's full of texture, knowing that it has beginning and an end and a middle, knowing that it's spreading through the body, knowing that we don't even know where it stops. Can you say where the breath stops? I don't know where the breath stops. Which part of the body is the end of the breath? Opening the experience of one breath, or experience of touch, sitting, experience what is the body like, what's the body telling me. And so the going deeper, although that word is also kind of, I want to be deep, or I'm not, it's also questionable, I mean, but let's say it's diving into the ocean would be breath by breath, or moment by moment, sensation by sensation, we are seeing it as a kaleidoscope. It has many aspects, it has many things in it. The Buddha talked about a sack of lentils, sack shel adashim, that we know each lentil inside the sack. And it seems, well, it's very specific, it's a little bit obsessive. It's like, I have to check every lentil. But actually it's making the experience, it's opening the box. Just like we're diving into the ocean, there's a fish and there's a jelly, oh, there's a medusa there. Oh, but what is a medusa? Instead of a problem, kind of problematic experience, if you look at a medusa, we can see the most beautiful thing we can imagine. You may not like it, but it's really interesting to look at a medusa. So it's looking carefully and seeing all the nuancing of one breath, of the sensations, of the bodily life, of the tchushot, the life. So that's, and that's through interest, as I said, through a little bit of commitment to be in the ocean, but surrender rather than the effort of I have to push and I have to, you know. So a bodily life is the main shetach, the field for today. We can, as we've been practicing in the past, we can already pay attention to pleasant and unpleasant as they arise. We can be ready for that. We can trust that they will be pleasant and they will be unpleasant. We can allow those visitors. So in one minute it's a flower, and next minute is a chazir bar of 300 kilo. That's the nature of life. But also be in the sense of I can hold all of that. I am aware and big enough in the consciousness to be able to hold this experience and this experience. I'm at home and ready for this visitor and that one. Pleasant, unpleasant. A sense of, okay, my back is hurting, I'm sitting here for 45 minutes. Yes, but I'm big enough to be able to look at that with an original mind. What is the back saying? How is it talking? What's it trying to tell me? What its needs are? Where it is? Where it's moving? What I'm doing with it? All that sense of the kaleidoscope of one thing called, we call, back pain. But as soon as we open it, it's not back pain anymore. It's a whole journey. In relation to anatta, again, kind of leave it as a concept, leave it as an issue, leave it as a subject. We don't need it. Firstly, when we are doing the kind of aware listening and kind of intimacy with experience, we're already there. The fact that no two moments are the same is already breaking the sense of a me and the sikum and the summary. This is experience. It's breaking up the sense of a self. The freshness of experience, the freshness of each moment, that's already there in the newness of things. This moment, this experience. But we can have a sense of a background, and we might just pay attention to that a bit in the day. Yeah? Presence. Nochachut. I'm here. That's it. There is awareness. There is awareness. Our experiences are known. There is a background. There is a kind of sense of I'm here. That can be just now and then. You can notice, I'm here. I'm here. You're walking, sitting, eating. Now and then, I'm here. And that's a background in the sense that it's not the foreground, meaning in the front. I need to see I'm here, I need to practice with me. It doesn't so much need that. It's more like background. It's not a concept. The whole of the practice is possible because we're aware human beings sitting here quietly looking. So it's very simple. There's a sense of presence. Here, I'm here. Somehow it's a confirmation, it's a sort of support. I'm here is just a confirmation. How do you say it in Hebrew, Dalia? Confirmation. Ishur? Yeah. Mm. Ishur. I'm here. It's just Ishur. It's a support to that. But not a foreground, not in the front that I have to keep giving myself Ishur that I'm here. It's light. It's a sense. Here I am. I think presence is a good enough word. They must speak. Nochochut. And so final word, we don't need to measure or judge our practice. Doesn't help. The atmosphere of trust that I mentioned before, the atmosphere of listening to what this child is telling us, is instead of measuring and judging, shiputiyut, what things, what should be, what should happen. But I do suggest that now and then, a little bit, understand that we're here not to develop super skills in meditation. We're not here to be super meditators. We're not here to be to win a competition of samadhi and sati. We're here to learn. It feels like the same, but it's actually a different attitude. It takes us off the technique. As soon as we're in a technique, then we're in the world, did I get it right? How good I am at it? How much of the sitting was I lost in thought? And how much of the sitting I fell asleep? How much I didn't fall asleep? It's out of that world. Instead of that, I suggest that now and then we pay attention to what's changed for me because of what's happening now. What is changed? What something is different? How, after a sitting, how do I get up from the sitting posture? How do I walk in the dining hall? How do I brush my teeth? How do I look at and regard the hot weather? Little bit checking what I'm learning from this practice. So it's contemplation, but it's good for us to do that now and then. We sometimes forget it. The fourth of the four foundations of mindfulness, the Satipatthanas, The fourth of them is the mindfulness of Dharma. And mindfulness of Dharma is about Four Noble Truths and so on, but it's experiencing them as experience, qualities that we notice. So obviously we'll notice if we're calmer, or we're more stressed, or we're more agitated, or we're more this or more that, we'll notice it. But just be aware a little bit of what I've learnt from this sitting, or from this day, or from this 10 minutes, or from this teaching, whatever. Give it a moment of thought. And that's instead of judging what my experience is compared to what I think it ought to be, which we don't really know. So I think that's all I want to say right now. In 15 minutes I'll be happy to guide some walking meditation here in this area. We will have groups tomorrow, starting tomorrow. And I think all of us, we can see, as the three teachers, we can see all of you in one day tomorrow. But today I think is just a day to kind of, as I say, dive in the ocean, begin to swim. And what comes up, comes up. And if there's questions, leave them. And we're, as I say, surrendering. But hold on to the questions, and tomorrow, if they come up, we'll have groups together. Okay, so let's take 10 or 15 minutes of practice.